This is episode 411, dated Monday, October 6th, 2025.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. Good to be here today, as always. This is episode 411, dated Monday, October 6th, 2025. Let me now introduce our sports spelunkers that have arrived already. We start out with the Reverend Michael Garrett.
And a welcome to Missouri City, Texas, where it is about 90 degrees. It's still summer here. We're hoping for the fall to come.
We are about 80 today, summery weather, sunshine, but a cool down is coming before the end of the week. It's going to be like roller coaster weather this month. Okay, Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon, good evening from downtown Pasadena, California. Fall is definitely here, 75 and sunny, and beautiful day here, and in a few weeks we'll be getting Santa Ana winds. We'll make us wish it was summer again, but for today and this week, it's perfect weather.
Don Wardlow. Don?
Yeah, hi there.
There you are.
From Jersey, where it's also in the lower 80s, we've had about 3 or 4 days of this, and like you, we're expecting cooler weather soon enough.
We are still waiting on Luther King and Peter Altschul. As far as I know, they're both coming. When they do, I'm sure they will let us know. In the meantime, let me thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our editor and producer, and of course, our media outlets. Thank you for airing us. And, of course, Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions, who archives our shows on my website. All you have to do to find the archive programs is go to www.brancoevents.com, arrow down till you get the Sports Roundtable podcast, click on them, and you will notice most of our archive shows from latest to earliest. And as Peter would affectionately say at this time, merci, Jackie. Let me say hi to Trish, our facilitator for today's program, along with Brad, who's our streamer. And because we are being streamed, let me give out my email address, because we would like our fans to write to us and let us know what they think of our show. It's always good to hear input from the people that we serve. So our email address is bobbranco93@gmail.com, bobbranco93@gmail.com. Bob Branco is one word. Well, the baseball playoffs are in full force, and we are down to 8 teams. We have the Blue Jays versus the Yankees, the Mariners versus the Tigers, the Brewers versus the Cubs, and the Dodgers versus the Phillies. All I can say right now, and I think Don is mourning about this, but for some reason, after the Yankees eliminated the Red Sox last week, the Blue Jays decided to get even here, and for the last two games, they have combined for 23 runs to the Yankees, 8 in two straight games. Toronto has beaten the Yankees. Any thoughts on the playoffs?
And 7 of those were in garbage time, as I think Marv Albert used to say about basketball, because they were down 9-0 before they scored any runs at all. Yesterday, that was brutal. That's the only way to describe those two games. Max Fried, I can't understand, you know, him getting destroyed the way he apparently did yesterday. Luis Hill is a big disappointment. He was last year's Rookie of the Year. I expected better from him in his opener on Saturday, and that didn't happen. But before then, man, that Boston series was fun.
And you know, it's funny, Don, but the Sox could have won that had Jaron Duran not dropped that ball in game 2. I'm not blaming that whole loss on him, but it's been talked about quite a lot.
Correct. That would have been, you know, a big move in their favor. They won game 1. Garrett Crochet beat Max Fried, and because of Aaron Boone, who he could get outmanaged by Debbie Boone. But, I mean, there's no excuse for taking Max Fried out in the seventh inning, ahead only 1-0 with a bullpen that can't even be described in public polite society.
Yeah, it's Bednar and everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Even Bednar is kind of questionable. But
who is this kid? Who is this kid pitcher who won that third game?
Our prize rookie Cam Schlittler. We had no idea who he was on opening day. You know, we only found out about him, I believe, in August. And the Boston starter Connelly Early made the scene even later than that. You know, he didn't join the picture until September, but those two, they really, you know, especially Cam, he pitched a game to be proud of, and Connelly, you know, he needed more support than he got. He didn't get support in the outfield, and he didn't get support from Nathan Lowe at first base.
Schlittler made history, didn't he? The first pitcher to debut with the numbers that he had. I'm trying to think of the specific numbers that he had, but
11 strikeouts, no walks.
Yeah, the Yankees, first debut in the playoffs of that ilk.
And for the Yankees, there he passed by Dave Rigetti and Red Ruffing. Red Ruffing in his first postseason game in the 1932 World Series against the Cubs struck out 10 men. Rigetti struck out 11, presumably Milwaukee Brewers in his first postseason game in 81. And now, actually, Schlittler struck out a dozen. I forgot that. He got 12 Ks over 8 innings. That's one game where the manager let him go long enough to lock the game down so that Bednar could close it out.
Well,
the first time I remember a rookie pitcher pitching in a, and I think it was the World Series at that time, was when Pittsburgh was in a series and a rookie named Bob Walk, bad name for a pitcher, but, as I recall, Bob Walk started, may have been against Baltimore, I don't recall.
Yeah, 79, but, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and he was a rookie that nobody had ever heard of before then.
And then 2 years later, Fernando made a big hit in the playoffs. He destroyed the Yankees. They were ahead 2-0 in that World Series, and after he shut them down in Game 3, they just packed up and went home. Now, as for this series in Toronto, I was saying to one of my friends, I wonder if all our bats got confiscated at customs.
It was those new bats they had early in the season.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the torpedo bats?
Yeah.
Right.
That we heard so much about?
Right. Yeah. Our bats didn't arrive until it was already 9-0 in the second game. That was just sad.
Yeah. But, we'll see if the Yankees will make a comeback. That's quite possible. You never know. Who's pitching the next game? Is it Rodon?
It's got to be Carlos Rodon and then Cam Schlittler in three
Schlittler
and four.
Again, yes.
And I tell you, I just don't want to see another 2022 against the Houston Astros. I don't want to see that happen again.
Well, the Dodgers have discovered their new closer. He's probably the highest paid closer in baseball.
Roky Sasaki.
We got Roky Sasaki. And
Was he the one in the bathroom when they called
Yes.
Him?
No. Was it Roky? I just read that, actually. No, it was Glasnow.
Glasnow, okay.
Yeah, when they brought him in to pitch in the seventh, he was in the bathroom. I hope he finished what he was doing. You hate to have to pitch with a full bladder.
In other words, the reliever was relieving.
Was relieving, yeah. Exactly. but Sasaki, I think, in four appearances out of the pen, has maybe given up one one hit. I mean, he's been amazing. The problem, of course, being that he's a starting pitcher, is we got to be very judicious in how often we use him. I assume, given the day off yesterday, that he's available tonight.
Well, did Ohtani win that game?
Yes. Yeah, he pitched into the seventh.
He pitched into the seventh.
Yeah, he pitched into the seventh, and he had a bad inning in the second. And you know, if he were on any other team, Teoscar would be a DH. He's a mediocre at best outfielder, but he really was only responsible for two of those three runs. That third run, he was responsible for because he dogged it going after that double, and in his throw in was not a very good one. But this is the second game, and the other one was either toward the end of the season or one of the games against the Reds. I don't recall. This is the second game where he has had a terrible inning in the outfield, only to come back and make up for it by hitting a big home run. It may well have been in the first game of the Reds.
It was the second game of the Reds series.
Second game.
It's a part of my podcast, which hasn't come out yet, unfortunately. But yes, he hit two home runs that game, and they were even after two home runs, they were talking about that one terrible mistake he made ages and ages ago in the first inning. But by the time it's 7-2, that error should be forgotten.
Well, but he's just, he really, as I say, if it weren't for Shohei, Teo would be a DH. He really is not an adequate outfielder, but he does tend to make up for it in key situations, as he did in the seventh inning on Saturday.
I thought Ohtani wasn't going to pitch this year.
No. That was never the talk. The talk was, they originally said he wasn't going to perhaps pitch until late July or early August.
Oh.
But he was ahead of his schedule in terms of throwing off the mound and doing the things that they wanted him to do to get ready. So he was pitching, I'm trying to remember, what I think he started pitching like one inning back as far as May, I think it was. It wasn't that he wasn't going to pitch this year. It was that he wasn't going to start pitching until much later in the season than it actually turned out.
And did he hit a home run in one of those Philly games?
Yes.
I thought so.
In the Reds game, not in the Phillies game.
Okay, yeah, I knew he did in the Reds game.
He had two home runs, as I recall.
Okay, I thought he might have in the Phillies game because there'd been talk about him hitting a home run and pitching in the same playoff game.
What he did in the Phillies game was hit the Golden Sombrero. He struck out four times.
Ouch.
and I was telling someone the other day that analytics being the lord of baseball.
Ouch.
Somebody ought to look at the games where Ohtani has pitched as well as hit and look at his batting average compared to the games he just DHs. I don't believe his batting average in those games he pitches is anywhere close to what he hits when he's not pitching. Somebody should do that, and it wouldn't be hard to do because I think there's a big difference. I think that when he pitches, he is not quite as focused on hitting, and I understand that.
Certainly, somebody like Sarah Langs could do that faster than I could say Jack Robinson.
Yeah.
I would be willing to say that somebody in the Dodgers organization is already doing that or has done that.
And because it's not good, they don't want to release it.
Right. Right. Yeah.
By the way, one of my favorite players and people has become the new Texas Rangers manager, Skip Schumacher.
I don't know if you heard that. I did, but I didn't really connect it with anything.
Well, he ended his career with the Dodgers, and everybody loved him. Everybody really loved him. He's just a really neat guy, and I hope he does well for the Rangers.
I wonder who's going to take Baldelli's place in Minnesota.
Well, they'll find some candidate somewhere. It's just a tough thing to happen to a heck of a good guy, Rocco Baldelli.
Yeah, I know. Now, you take the Brewers, for instance. Now, do you think the Brewers have a chance to go all the way? I kind of predict the Phillies will, but I'm always reminded of how great the Brewers are. I'm just hoping that the Brewers haven't peaked and that the Phillies are the team that's really more established and they could do it.
Bob, the difference is that Milwaukee is old school. They will be aggressive on the bases, and what they have that the Phillies don't have, and I'm still not sure the Dodgers have completely, is they have top to bottom better pitching. That's why I think I think the Dodgers will get by the Phillies now that they won this first game. But I think I think Milwaukee overall has better pitching top to bottom.
I would love to see Milwaukee get into it on the National League side. You know, they were only were they even in it once, or were they only in the playoffs against the Cardinals and got beat? 82.
Oh, the Brewers.
Oh, they were in the American League.
They were in the American League then. I think they played the Cardinals. Javi's Wallbangers.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'd like to see it happen. You know, one of my pals, Josh Maurer, is one of their broadcasters. I'd love to hear him do some World Series innings. Of course, they've got the man I privately call the Polish power, which is to say Jacob Mizierowski. And the thing is, my phone, and probably nobody's phone on earth, can pronounce Mizierowski, which is why I've started calling him the Polish power when I'm texting one of my sports friends. Because the original Polish power was a wrestler named Ivan Putski, who I was a big fan of back in the day.
Well, that Jason pitcher has a much harder Polish last name to pronounce than Pomerantz, because Pomerantz is Polish. But it's
really
not that hard to pronounce. Yes. Yeah.
And the Pomerantz who pitched spells it differently than you do.
He dropped the T. Pomerantz in Polish, and I actually checked it out, means orange.
That makes sense.
If you ask the A lady what the Polish word for orange is, obviously it's pronounced a little differently, but that's Pomerantz in Polish is orange.
Boy, you live and learn. Wow.
So NFL is really heating up, and we're starting to find out some very interesting things. All of a sudden, the New England Patriots are one game behind the Bills. Who would have thunk that?
Yeah, I think the Patriots were, you know, going to amount to anything for a while. I was going to say the first NFL highlight was the old Jet, Mark Sanchez, looking at some time in the big house, unless he can get a good lawyer.
He must have been S-faced, not to put too fine a point on it. He just must have been really drunk.
Well, it was late at night. It was very late at night, and I guess he was counting on getting sober for the broadcast the next day.
Yeah, well, we will not hear him on Fox again, I predict.
Doesn't seem likely.
I would think so. But going back to the Patriots, Drake May, I thought had a really good performance.
He is really good. Yeah. My only complaint with Drake May, I made a switch with my fantasy team, and I started him over Baker Mayfield, and Mayfield actually had a good touchdown scoring day, so I shouldn't have started Drake May, but he is really top notch, and he and Stephon Diggs went crazy last night.
He had about 10 catches, I think?
Yeah, 140 some odd yards.
Yeah, heck of a game.
They're 3-2. Bills are 4-1.
Yeah, 4-1. The problem with the Patriots is they are now down to two running backs. They're down to Fumbelina and the rookie, because Gibson is now out for the year. He he suffered the typical torn knee ligament injury, so they're down
That's
to
funny.
Two.
That's funny. We call Stevens Fumbleina this year, but he hadn't had that reputation until this year. Not really. I don't know what happened to him.
Oh, Bob, that's not so. His rep coming into this season, the press went after him for fumbling. He fumbled a bunch last year. He's had that problem, and I thought I read that he's had that problem going back to college. He's fumble prone. He doesn't know how to hold the ball properly.
Well, maybe it's time for the Patriots to get another running back to help finish off the season. Too bad about
Gibson. Looking.
Too bad about
they
Gibson.
May be looking.
Now, how about those Ravens? They are right now in a pickle defensively. They got six stars on their defense
who
are hurt right now?
Pro Bowl stuff.
Unbelievable.
You got some points because Nico Collins scored.
Yeah, Nico scored for me. Unfortunately, I had to pick up a kicker because Boswell was on bye, and guess who I picked up? I picked up Spencer Schrader. His second kick, he was run into, and he's out for the season.
Oh, wow.
You know, I tell you what, it'll be last man standing by the end of the season. It'll be interesting Sunday, because guess who the Ravens are playing this Sunday? They're playing the Rams.
Oh,
I'm picking the Rams.
Well, so is everybody. But the Rams and the Chargers, you got to call them chicken, because both teams laid big eggs this weekend. The Chargers Thursday and the Rams Thursday and the Chargers yesterday. That was those two games. Neither team should have lost. But what the Chargers did yesterday was pretty sick. Jim Harbaugh. You don't want to be in a Jim Harbaugh team meeting today. He's probably cutting new ones for every defensive player at that meeting, because they went off 10-0, and then they just laid an egg, laid a couple of eggs.
They're riddled with injury also, the Chargers. They're riddled with injuries too. So,
yeah, but not on the defensive side.
No.
They've had offensive line injuries, not on the defense.
It's the Ravens that have a very questionable defense right now because of injury. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. The Texans beat the Ravens. That was a good game. And, of course, tonight we have the Chiefs and Jaguars. What do you guys think about that one?
I think that's going to be an interesting game, because the Jaguars are actually beginning to play better defense.
And Lawrence is actually starting to get his feet settled, I think, as an NFL quarterback. So that could be interesting. What is the identity of Kansas City this year? That's the big question. What is their real identity?
They're waiting for Rice to come back, and then Mahomes will actually be able to spread the field and have a serious deep threat, because Hollywood really isn't, at least not to the extent Rice is. They're waiting for Rice to come back. Although I still think Denver's the class of the AFC West, and, you know, look what they did to the Eagles yesterday.
Yay, thanks to Denver. Thanks to Denver. I was happy about that.
Yeah. So I don't know what the identity of the Chiefs is.
Yeah, they're... Yeah, you know, people still think. I saw somewhere where they still think that they're in a dynasty with Mahomes, but you know, you got to have something around you to have a dynasty.
If they don't pick up a running back, then they're hurting, because obviously Pacheco a couple of years back was a 1-year wonder. They don't have a running game,
and they've got. I guess Hunt is still Kareem Hunt. I guess he's still active? I mean,
yeah, he's still, but he's listed as number three behind this rookie who got some playing time a week ago. I don't know whether he played yesterday or not. I didn't, or not yesterday. I don't know if he's going to play tonight. But
what's his name?
Who knows? But Breshawn Smith, I think Breshawn is his first name. Something like that.
I don't recall what his name is.
But so, tonight will be interesting to see if Jacksonville puts up a fight. I think they will.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, and I look at that because perhaps Houston is now waking up. And you want to see whether they can compete for in this division, because Indianapolis is looking good. Jacksonville is competitive. So maybe the Texans will be competitive also.
Well, they're 2-3.
I'm wondering when that first Houston Indianapolis game is. I don't think they've played yet, and that will be a good that could be a really good matchup.
Let me see.
You got your schedule there?
Of course.
Hey, Houston plays the Seahawks next.
Ooh, that'll be a tough one. Where is that game in Houston, Bob?
I'm not sure, but that's their next game. So, no Colts yet.
That's why, you know, that game yesterday, that's why I didn't start Baker Mayfield as my fantasy quarterback. I thought that when when Tampa Bay went into Seattle, I didn't think that second half would happen. I thought the second half would be like the first half, and all of a sudden a scoring battle broke out, which was to me totally unexpected.
So, Reverend Michael, what about your Longhorns?
Write them off. Uh-huh. The season. The season is probably over. I'm not sure who they can beat in the Southeast Conference. The thing about Saturday's game was they're questionable on offense, but the defense let me down. So I really thought that the defense was going to at least keep them in the game, but Lagway had his way with the Horns.
So the question is Sark, because of the Manning last name, the Manning reputation, is Sark going to give Manning an even longer leash, or at some point is Sark going to give the next man standing a shot?
I think he is going to give him a long leash, unless he just looks so bad that he can't perform. There was one play where they knocked his helmet off, and Caldwell came in and
has to come out for a play when that happens.
Yeah, he had to come out for a play. Caldwell came in, threw a pass, and completed it. And then Arch came back in and took over. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you get beat by a team that's not in the top 25, and you just drop all the way out. And it's really a long fall coming from number one being kicked out of the whole top 25.
Well, I was saying, you were talking about before we went on, the UCLA-Penn State game and how bad Penn State's defense looked against a UCLA team that couldn't get out of its own way. And it really did remind me several years ago when USC was, I don't know where we were ranked at the time. We were definitely in the top 25. And I went to a game at the Coliseum against Stanford where we were 25-point picks, and we lost 45-0. And I don't even remember who I went with. I think Donna was with me and some other people. And unfortunately, where we were sitting, we were way too close to the Stanford rooting section. We had to put up with We had to put up with their nonsense for 3 hours, but that game Saturday reminded me a lot of that USC Stanford game, the way UCLA manhandled the Nittany Lions.
And yet it was only a 5-point game. It was 42-37, if I have my info right.
It was 42-37, actually.
But it wasn't, yeah, hey, but listen, it wasn't that close at halftime. It was 24-7, I think, at halftime.
I'm surprised UCLA did what they did. I'm like, where has this been all year?
Yeah.
Same thing with Florida against Texas over the weekend. I'm like, how in the world?
Yeah, well, with UCLA and Penn State, the handicappers were as in the dark as you were.
No kidding. Cause I'm thinking, like,
I forget how big a favorite, but it was big.
Oh, they were, I think it was like at what, 10 and a half, maybe more than that?
Oh, it was more against Penn State? No, Penn State was closer to 20, I think.
I can't remember exactly, but I know that line started out like pretty lopsided and then kept either going up or, you know.
And that's one, much as I normally don't mess with football, that's one that when I finally get out from under all the baseball that I'm recording for my podcast, I'm going to get the UCLA Penn State game.
If you can find it.
I found it.
You did?
I got it locked in. I just have to have this thing called time. If you ever read the Harry Potter books, one of the characters had a gizmo called a time turner, and that person could turn time back and take classes, you know, at the same time, two or three classes. Believe me, I'd like one of those so I can, you know, record more games than I do.
Unfortunately, that won't be invented anytime soon.
I know. It's a fun thing to think about.
It just takes time, gentlemen.
Yeah. speaking of time, unfortunately, I think the New York Yankees, unless they win tomorrow, won't have any more of it.
You're right. They got to win tomorrow or they're toast.
They're done.
Even though it's 3-0, you know, that would probably be another Houston 2022. And I've already said, I really don't want to see that happen.
Here's the thing.
Well, this is just a three out of five series.
Yeah, it's a 3 out of 5, yeah. But Rev, when you're down 0-2 though, and you sent your best to the mound on Sunday and he didn't even get out of the third or whatever, and he gave up 5. Now you're going to have to rely on Rodon to get game 3. And then what are you going to do for game 4? If you somehow get it to a 4th and 5th game, what are you going to do
Schwittler.
Then?
And he'd been that good 2 times in a row.
That's the question.
That's a big question.
That's a big ask for a kid.
Yes, it is.
That's a big ask.
But it's at Yankee Stadium, so if there's a hope, that's it.
The Yankees are built particularly for that ballpark.
Rev, I do have a question for you.
Go ahead.
I have a question for you. What's up with Arch?
We were just talking about that. You know, I wonder if some of the naysayers, they used to say that Arch is just coming by his name. He's really a 5-star. So, but it's playing out.
Yeah, it is.
We'll see. Is it the offensive line? Is it his inability to focus? Because he's been throwing some balls that fall short of the receiver. You know, guys are having to lunge to try to catch the ball before they fall.
I wonder if they have relied too much on Arch to bail them out of messes instead of, you know, using their run game more, or do they not trust their backs to get the yardage?
Well, you're down to Wisner came back this week, but you're down, your two top backs have been.
Yeah, Wisner's back.
You're down to your 3, 4, and 5 guys.
Yep.
And now Wisner, the second guy's back. Baxter's out.
Yeah, I don't know when he got hurt. Did he get hurt like the week before the Florida game, or was that earlier in one of those round times?
No. He got played the first play he came in.
The
very first play he got hurt. Been back since.
Bottom line is, he's just not one of the golden arches.
Nope.
He's a fallen arch.
That's a fallen arch.
He's
He's a fallen Arches.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's time for our participants to enter the scene. And, oh, by the way, hockey starts.
Hockey
this
starts
weekend.
Tomorrow.
Yep, and basketball preseason starts around the same time.
Yeah, well, let's see. We got three games tomorrow, and I'm really looking forward to one of them in the middle of the block, hitting the Rangers and the Pens.
Oh yes.
Well, and now here's the weird thing. They put the Stanley Cup champs in the first game of the night at 4 o'clock against Chicago.
4 o'clock on a Tuesday?
5 Eastern, 4 Central time.
5 Eastern on a Tuesday.
Yes, on a Tuesday. Blackhawks and Panthers.
Yep.
The first game of the day. I'm surprised they didn't put, you know, the champions in the middle block, because wouldn't you think they would have, you know, gotten some more ratings if they would have put the Stanley Cup champs at 7?
I guess
guess maybe the fact that it's Rangers Pens in the middle and Avalanche Kings at the back end of the triple header.
Perhaps.
That's the only thing I can think of.
So Trish, do we have any hands raised at this time from our fans?
We do. We have Robert Acosta.
Robert Acosta, Roberto. Yes.
Hi guys, you're doing great here.
And you have a story.
Yeah, I do. I didn't hear the game, but my friend told me today, Arizona Cardinals and the Tennessee Titans, the halfback for the Cardinals broke loose, went 70 yards, and for some reason dropped the ball. And the Titans grabbed it. If someone knows more about it, I'd appreciate hearing.
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead, Bob.
Di Mercato, and this is the second week in a row this happened, and I forget the player it happened to.
Actually, this
before.
Has happened three times, actually.
Di Mercato started celebrating before he crossed the goal line and lost the ball. Mm-hmm. And his momentum carried the ball separate from him into the end zone.
And as Chris Sims on PFT Live likes to call it, when you fumble the ball in the end zone and the defense did nothing to get it back, he calls it, you've been North Korea'd. Kim Jong-un was actually entered the United States, except for the fact that it comes to football.
Yeah, this has happened two or three times this year.
I think Jonathan Taylor, I think the Indianapolis Colts. The other one. Not Taylor, because Taylor did it last year. I think one of their either defenders or receivers did the exact same thing. He was going down the sideline for a score, and he did the same thing before he crossed the goal line. He lost the ball.
Oh, man. Yeah.
So it's happened a few times this year, and it's like.
Okay, just another thing, if I may. The strike machine, they say that it's going to cover, from the middle of the plate in, that corners won't count. So does that mean that teams are going to have to get fastball pitchers, or what are your thoughts? Wendy's really complaining. And one more thing, let me just get in. I hate our announcers, at least the Dodger guys on the radio. Oh, it's really a strike, but I guess it's a ball. Vin Scully called the play. He might say on the corner, and he might have said it's low.
Low.
I don't care what the announcer thinks. If it's a ball, we live with it. If it's a strike. Thank you for listening to me.
You're welcome. My issue
with, and not so much, Tim Neverett, but
he's
Stephen
good.
Nelson.
Tim's good.
Oh, Tim Neverett.
Stephen Nelson, he's I awful. Call him Giggles.
Yeah.
Broadcasters aren't supposed to giggle.
No.
Doing play by play. And that's the problem. Now, the issue you raised with the strike zone.
Okay.
It isn't the corners.
Oh.
That's the problem with the ABS system. And they're still tinkering with the high and low pitches, because batters, not only, they're going to measure their height. The question is, are they going to measure them when they're in their normal batting stance? That's still kind of up in the air at this point. But the corners aren't supposed to be the problem. It's below the knees, or the shoulder.
Well, here's the thing, guys. Because I've listened to a lot of minor league baseball down here, and they've had the ABS system for the last 3 years. And I think Jeff Hems said it correctly. He's like this, because even at the minor league level, there's still problems with the, you know, ABS system, with the calls at the knees, below the knees,
yeah.
Where is the strike zone going to be? Like, not on the corners, but is it going to be, are they going to give them like at the knees? Are they going to give them below the knees? Are they going to give them above the knees? Like what is the ABS going to declare is going to be the good enough strike zone?
Well, the old strike zone was at the chest, from the chest to
the knees.
Above the knee.
Yep.
That was the old strike zone.
I think it was right at the letters.
Was right at the letters. Yes. But now the thing is, here's the thing though. Now with these batters coming out as 6'4", 6'5", and like 230, 240 being long and dangling in the box, I don't think the umpire can really give that strike zone anymore.
Well, it's coming next year to the big leagues no matter what.
And it's going to be interesting to see how quickly the batters and pitchers and catchers, how quickly they use their challenges, because you only get two in regulation.
But if taking your example, Luther, you know, for these tall guys.
Yeah.
That means that they would have to frame the zone.
Yep. That's what a lot of catchers, if they're good at it, they will frame and they will steal a strike or two for their pitcher if they frame it correctly and catch it correctly. But not all catchers do that. And that's why you see a lot of, you know, pitchers feel like they should have had a strike, but with the catcher not catching it and the umpire not seeing it correctly. And Don is, and you know, we've all listened to the game broadcasts and Don can probably attest to this better than I can, but how many times have we heard, that was right there on the corner, but the umpire didn't give him the call because the catcher didn't catch it correctly so the umpire could see it properly.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob. Trish, who's next?
We have no more hands at this time.
Okay, let us know when that changes. You can interrupt us.
Okay.
Anytime you want.
But I think that's going to be very interesting with the ABS coming to MLB since they started using it in spring. But they didn't use it for the regular season. But now I think it's going to be coming to stay once they get done tweaking it. It'll be very interesting to see how that
comes
out.
It is an interesting issue. Where are they going to have, where are they going to judge the upper and lower limits of a strike zone?
Mm-hmm.
When you've got players who do, I'm again showing my age. I don't think he was a straight up hitter, but remember, going back even to the early 60s, little Albie Pearson, who played a few years with the Angels. In the 70s, you had Freddie Patek, who was 5'4".
I remember him. I've heard of him.
Yeah. I remember him.
I mean,
Freddie Patek,
can you imagine? Can you imagine, you know, some little guy coming up and you know, and if he gets into any kind of a crouch, there won't be a strike zone.
There won't be one, no.
Yeah, well, you look at Jose Altuve. We still have him now, as far as I know.
Yeah, he's still there, yeah.
Altuve next to an Aaron Judge.
That's a mismatch. That's like a grown man with a kindergartner. That ain't even fair. That ain't even fair.
We know the strike zones will vary depending on
six, the size. Six, seven on 5'10"? Maybe?
Yeah, oh, come on. Maybe
5'6" and a half. Either way.
Altuve is 5'5".
And yes, Luther, what you said earlier is going to happen. Announcers, you know, some of them make their living saying, oh, it should have been
exactly.
Some of them don't do that, but some of them make their living
Some of them love doing that just for, oh my God.
I know they're very critical of the umpires more than ever.
I was going to say, I truly don't remember Rick Monday, who was never critical up until a couple of 3 years ago. And, you know, I love it when Rick Monday talks about hitters swinging at pitches they shouldn't swing, because one of the things that I'll always remember about Rick Monday is he was a free swinger and he swung at a lot of pitches.
Yeah.
So perhaps he's speaking from experience, but
yep.
They said this, I just heard this, that umpires on average got a 90 some odd percent
rating. Wasn't it like 93.7 yeah, or something like that?
And I'm thinking, if that's the case, then they must have been closer to 98, 99%, or there were a lot of umpires who were 100%, because
those are very rare, because if you find an umpire that calls a perfect game with the strike zone, I would love to meet him or her, because I've never seen them.
There have been several, but you know, Monday and Stevie Nelson, and even when Neverett is doing the games, which he hasn't done any of the post-season games yet.
Why that is. I mean, I don't understand why he's not doing.
He didn't last year either. I almost think a lot of these guys have second jobs, and I have to think that come October 1st, he has a second gig. Another job. Because I think that he lives in Vegas.
You might be right.
And so he may well have something that takes him away after October 1st, because this happened last year, too.
That second job I would want to get out of, because how could anything be better than the World Series, for crying out loud?
Or even the wild card playoff run. I mean, after all, just seeing your team make
contract. He may have a contract.
What's he doing? Early preseason hockey?
Well, hold on.
No watchers, no ratings.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, everybody, look, we're all watching the postseason. Now, if you're lucky and there's no postseason game on, you may have to go listen to preseason hockey. But luckily, preseason's over. And we got actual games that actually count starting tomorrow. Thank the Lord.
Which nobody's going to watch, because they'll be watching, you know,
most of the ALDS is the NLDS is going to be a lot. All four of those teams are going to be on airplanes.
Yes, that's one of our idle days in the NLDS, right?
And then that resumes on Wednesday. And I think the ALDS will be doing the same thing, and they'll have an idle day on Wednesday.
By the way, the Dodgers-Phillies game starts 8 minutes after we're done.
Yup.
In case anybody needs to be reminded.
You don't have to remind me.
6:08 your time. 5:08 your time. 6:08 our time.
5:08 Central time. 3:08 in the afternoon.
And at 5:15, I'll be getting my little radio and listening to the football game in one ear and the Dodgers game in the other.
Well, the good news is for me, I will have the Beloved and Talented Dodger feed, because I will not listen to Fransky and whoever else. I don't know if it's Stock or Anderson. It's a possibility that it's probably going to be Anderson for the home games and Stock for the road games with Fransky.
Stocker is way better than Anderson.
Oh, definitely. However, he's
such a bitter old man, Larry Anderson is, which is too bad.
He's been doing baseball forever.
Yeah, I know. Going back to the 80s? 09, maybe.
Something like that.
I mean, he played into 90 or 91. Yep. And I know he's been broadcasting since at least 09, if not before that. Cause he was there when Harry Callis died. That was a hard game for anybody to broadcast.
That, let me tell you, when I heard the news that Harry Callis died in the booth.
Yeah.
It was the season opener. It was the season opener. If I remember this correctly, and they were about to start first pitch or something like that, and they found Harry Callis dead in the booth.
Exactly.
Wow.
It was in Washington. It wasn't the season opener. They played a week of games, but this is when we were still a one computer family.
Yep.
And my wife hollered down from upstairs, Harry Callis collapsed. And she knew what Harry meant to me.
Oh, Lord.
She knew I was going to come racing up and I was going to take over the computer. notice, which he for once tolerated, you know.
Now look, I'm like when I heard the news on that, I'm like, oh my Lord, we lost another one.
Yes.
And then when Vince Scully passed, we lost the Rock of Gibraltar broadcaster.
The one I was thinking about, and I was at the ACB convention, so I didn't hear the announcement until later that night, but. Don Drysdale, because Drysdale died in his hotel
when
the Dodgers were on the road, and I guess Scully You know, they found out, he just never showed up to the booth.
Vince Scully, if I remember right, Vince Scully said something about it, and I think the White Sox broadcast with him, Ken Hawk Harrelson. He was bawling on the air.
Can't believe it. And Scully was saying, it's with a broken heart that I carry out this broadcast.
Yep.
Without
remember that.
Sure.
And you know, that same year we lost Campanella, and he died during a rain delay in one of our games. And when we came in off the rain delay, you know, the first thing I brought our audience was the obit for Campanella.
By the way, I have something in common with Don Drysdale. He and I graduated from the same high school about 10 years apart.
Where?
San Fernando Valley, Van Nuys High School.
How do you like that?
Did you and he ever attend the same alumni association get-togethers?
I never saw him at any of our alumni get-togethers. No, but he was 10 years ahead of me at Van Nuys High School.
Wow,
interesting.
Hey, Mitch. By the way, do you think USC figured out their issues because they got Michigan, and boy, Michigan looked good against Wisconsin Saturday.
I am going to be at that game Saturday.
I will do my best to listen Monday. I will try to listen to the legendary Arbogast because I don't like Doug Carr's football play voice. He's too easy.
Yeah, no, my brother-in-law and I will be at that game. It's 4:30 our time, which is
6:30 Central.
Really nice. So it'll be an early evening game for you guys.
Pre-game is like 4:30, I think, on 710 ESPN. Unless they do a long pregame. I think on the network they do 2 hours.
That's insane. Yeah. I could never do.
The longest
pregame I ever did was 45 minutes.
Look, remember I told you when you asked me, what was it, in text thread, because you and I talked about this, I told you the longest pregame shows that are, you know, on Learfield.
Yeah.
Michigan does 3. Alabama does 3. But the longest one I can remember is radio network side is Georgia doing 4.
Georgia and Tennessee are pretty close.
Well, Georgia's the longest.
The Patriots pregame show is 3 hours.
Well, Patriots preview, I think they do it locally, I think, and then the rest of the network joins
it
in
is
the
locally,
second or the third,
yes.
or second or the second or third hour.
Yeah,
I think they bring the whole network in like hour either two, some of the network an hour two, and some an hour three before the play by play.
Pro teams do those long pregame.
Yeah,
shows.
The Titans do 3 hours.
Yeah, the Rams do 2.5 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
Tennessee cut theirs down from like. They used to do a full 6 hour show. I mean, I think they go 2.25, I think now, maybe 2.5, but they're not as long as like Georgia on the network for 4 hours. Unless you want to go North Dakota State, cause they do all day coverage locally and network wise.
Well, there's nothing else to do there.
I think if my math is right, I remember one day I just wanted to see how long they would go. I think for the national championship game, they did like 6 hours. Mm. I'm like, holy cow.
Speaking of broadcasting, I have to ask, especially you, Luther and Don.
Yeah.
My favorite NFL broadcaster these days is Gene Deckerhoff.
Buccaneers.
Is there anybody better that you guys like? I love listening to Gene Deckerhoff.
I mean, I can run you through a few that I've enjoyed. Bob Sosi, who I remember meeting when he was the voice of Albuquerque, when he came here in Nashville, now he's the voice of the Patriots at the Ghost Central radio booth. Mitch Holthus of the Chiefs, their audio is clean, okay? The Chiefs broadcast is clean. I'm not a fan of the Jags, I'm gonna tell you that right now. When Brian Sexton's no longer doing the games, I'm like, forget it. The only thing Frank Frangie does well is he does the scene set as well, but other than that, I could care less. Merrill Reese, the legendary voice of the Phillies, he's still got it. I like him.
And what's sad is I can't even name the guys who do the Jets or the Giants.
That's easy. Bob Papa does the Giants. I told you that before.
Oh, okay.
And well, Bob Wischusen does the Jets.
One of them.
Bob Papa's brother, Greg, I assume that's his brother, was doing Niner games.
Well, he's for a while. Doing Niner games, but he's dealing, well, he just came back to his, midday show on KNBR, but he's still doing cancer treatment. So right now he's not doing it for Niner games now.
That's why he's away. Okay.
They have like three or four different guys. Guy Haberman, yeah. He did the Niners Rams this past Thursday with Tim Ryan. And I think they have like the voice of Cal, Justin Allegri and a few other guys lined up until Papa is fully recovered and they give him the all clear to come back.
That guy, you know, Tim Ryan, that's the former USC Tim Ryan, right?
Yes.
He played linebacker.
Linebacker, yes.
For USC back in the day. I thought it was the same Tim Ryan.
Before we conclude, we haven't talked about Tigers Mariners yet. What do you think?
Oh, that series has been tight. Oh,
two crazy games.
What was it? Saturday that game went extras and then Sunday was just a flat out pitcher's duel.
You got it.
I mean, but I think that series could go the distance.
Julio Rodriguez hit in the eighth inning for the Mariners on Sunday night. Man, I love listening to those guys. Rick Riz, the Hall of Famer.
Rick Riz, Aaron Goldschmidt, and
Gary Hill. And of course, Shannon Dreyer on pre and
awesome
post.
Awesome pre-game and post-game
host. How would you guys like to be Cleveland Guardians management after coming back from 15.5 back, winning the division and then
get sunk by the six seed Tigers?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. If I'm management, I'm looking to get a pipeline of pitching. Get me a middle of the order bat.
Yeah, we need them badly.
And get me a closer to close games.
Class A's in legal trouble right now, right?
Yeah, I know he's in legal trouble.
I don't know what's going to happen there.
You know what? I just have a feeling they may have to go outside the organization to go find another closer because I don't know if Class A is going to be back.
We have 1 minute, guys.
Thank you.
And both Cleveland and Detroit need more batters.
Especially Cleveland.
You know what? Here's the thing. As you and I talked about, Don, everybody coming in, once this is playoffs are over, they have shopping lists galore because they're looking for something.
Yeah.
If it's not starting pitching, it's another bat. If it's not another bat, it's bullpen.
Right. And we are out of time. I want to thank everybody. Well, we have the few seconds that we do have left. I want to say thanks to everybody and especially to our facilitator, Trish, and our streamer, Brad, and of course for our panel members and our participants. Have a good week. Go safe with God's abundant blessings. I'm Bob Branco. See you next week on Sports Roundtable.